That's a great song. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. If you have a Bible and you want to read the verse, we'll look at some other passages later. One short verse says a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll let you get there. And look with me at verse 15, 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Bob Jones Sr. said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. We've come through Thanksgiving, and the Bible teaches us to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. But it comes down to this, for his unspeakable gift. And that is really the bedrock. That is really the foundation that our hearts just go to. Because it's something so stable and so powerful, the gift of God. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Father, thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of our salvation because of that. And I pray, Lord, that you would open every heart as we open the word today. May you just guide and direct in everything that's said and done now. For your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. It's a great verse. Christmas is a miracle. And when we talk about miracles, there's miracles all the time. There are miracles every day. We sometimes see them, sometimes we don't see them. But God is a miracle-working God, and we so appreciate that and love that. I hope you believe in miracles. Christmas is a miracle. The virgin-born Son of God, God came into this world. That is such a blessing. I love presents. I don't know if you like presents. I love presents. I'll just let you know that. In December is a good month for me. The beginning of December is my birthday. I love my birthday. Amen. And then my wedding anniversary, our wedding anniversary, was on the 23rd. And it was our 50th wedding anniversary. So I love that. And Christmas. I love Christmas. I love presents. Amen. And I don't know if you love presents or not. Since it was our 50th, I made a reservation at a really, really nice restaurant. If your 50th anniversary is your golden anniversary, I was going to take my wife, my dear wife, Linda, to the Golden Arches. And because that's a really classy place. But the weather forbid that, you know, and so we weren't able to do that. So we went down to Myers. And we go to the card section. Don't ever buy somebody a card. Just take them to Myers. I read 20 anniversary cards to my wife and didn't have to pay for one of them, you know. My daughter used to say, what did the bird say when he flew over Paul Delmar? And she said, cheap, cheap, cheap. But all kidding aside, I love presents, but I love to give them too. And the Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you have a relationship with people, you find joy in giving and you find joy in receiving. And when we have a relationship with our God, our Savior, then we enjoy the giving and the receiving. And certainly he gives good gifts to men. When we think of the word gift, we think of something given to another, something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. It's a gift. Somebody doesn't have to pay for it. You paid the price for the gift and you just freely give it to somebody. And the purpose of a gift is to be a blessing. Amen? You want to give something that somebody really might enjoy. In Genesis chapter 32, well, even back in chapter 27, there's a man by the name of Jacob and a man by the name of Esau. They were brothers. And Esau was the firstborn, and he was going to get the blessing of the firstborn. Jacob was a deceiver, a manipulator, a supplanter, all those things. And he tricked his father into giving him the blessing. And Esau got very angry with this. He was so angry that he hated his brother, and he was going to kill his brother. So Jacob takes off, and he goes to his uncle Laban's house, and he's there for a number of years. But he's gone about 20 years. And he decides, with the Lord's direction, to go back home. And he's coming back home, and he hears word that Esau is coming out to meet him with 400 men. That doesn't look good. Amen? 400 men. And so this is what Jacob did. In Genesis 32:13, he took a present for Esau, his brother, and sent it out before he was going to see his brother. There was a great conflict there when he left, and he didn't know if that was ever solved. And this is the present that he gave his brother. This is Genesis 32:14-15. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. That's 580 animals. That's more than getting a puppy for Christmas. Amen? And he sent that out ahead of his arrival, and this is the reason he did that. Because he said, I will appease him with the present. And sometimes a present makes a way to reconcile. It does, because it's that powerful. And there's so many illustrations of this. The Queen of Sheba, she came to see Solomon. And Solomon was the king, and Solomon had a great reputation for his wisdom and his power and all of those things. And so she came to prove him with hard questions, the Bible says. And so by the time she was done talking to Solomon, she was so convinced that he was a great king. But in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, a very great store, precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these, which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. When she saw Solomon, she gave him these gifts. And when she's leaving, she says, the half has not been told. I see this king, and I've heard all of these wonderful things about him, but the half has not been told. And one of the gifts was, I think I mentioned, the talents of gold. In today's economy, the talents of gold that she gave would amount to $238,553,627. That's a pretty nice gift. Amen? And she said that, I give this gift because you're so magnificent. You're so wonderful. I want to give you this great, great gift. And the half has not been told. Maybe I should have brought more to give to you. In the New Testament, Jesus said this in Luke 11:31. She came, speaking about the Queen of Sheba, she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He was talking about himself. She came so far, she gave what a wonderful gift, but there's a greater than Solomon, and that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard of his wisdom. We have a book of wisdom. We have the Bible. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. So we find the riches of his grace in the Bible. We find his great wisdom in all of the things that he did as we read the Gospels. Amen? And we see how much greater Jesus was than Solomon, and how we ought to just give him our life. Amen? Because he is so wonderful. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's an interesting text. Unspeakable is beyond all expression, beyond measure, beyond bounds. And this gift brings, 1 Peter 1:8, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The unspeakable words bring unspeakable joy. How do you describe in words something that cannot be described in words? How do you do that? It's unspeakable. I've used this illustration before, but if I asked you, what does honey taste like? Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So it's all individual. You know, you could hear something from me today. You can read something in the Bible, parent, friend, loved one, mate, and they tell you how good the Lord is, but until you taste and see, you have no idea, because there's no way to describe it. It's unspeakable. But if you were going to describe honey, what would you say? And some people would say, well, it's sweet, but chocolate is sweet. Amen? You would have to taste honey to know what it tastes like. And that's the point of the message today. In Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding. That's interesting, isn't it? And Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Christmas is a great mystery. And all of these things are. My peace, Jesus said, I give unto thee. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, he'll give it to you. These are all gifts that the Lord gives us. We find the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So what do you do with the gift? Amen? Well, you put it under the tree, and then you don't open it. You wait till next year and bring it out again. Kind of like some of the stuff we have in our basement when we move. You just move the box. You never open it. It's still in there, you know, and it's going to be in there for years to come. But if you get a present, I'm guilty of this. My wife knows this. If somebody sends me a present through the mail and it says, don't open till Christmas, especially if it's candy, right? Then I open it right away with a gift. You know it's a good gift. You want to open that and partake of it. So many gifts the Lord gives us. But the one that we're talking about today is the unspeakable gift. What is that? We're going to look at the scriptures about that, because it's the one that comes only from God. Nobody else can give you that gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved that he gave. That's a blessing. In Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God gives his Son, the Son gives himself. And they did that for our salvation. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of the three wise men. And they came from the east. And it was a long journey. And there was a light. There was a star. And they followed that star all the way to Bethlehem. First, they came before King Herod. And they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they searched the scriptures. And they found out that he would be born in Bethlehem. And so the three wise men went to Bethlehem. And in Matthew 2:11, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. These are very important kings. They are wise men. They came from the east. They came with their treasures. And it says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They fell down, they worshipped, they presented gifts because of the value of the person they were coming to see. They made that long journey. And again, they followed that star. And the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we get in the Bible again and we say, boy, I'm going to follow this story. I'm going to follow these verses. I'm going to follow the truths, the doctrines that are in the Bible. And they will all lead you to Jesus Christ. They will all lead you to that place where the Savior was born and came into this world for us. And it's a wonderful day, amen? They believed he was the Son of God. They believed that this is a great miracle. And when we believe that, man, we can devour this book and follow it like a path, amen? And that's what the light of the Word of God does for us. Such a blessing. All these things kind of go together. Oh, come, let us adore him, we say. Christ the Lord. In Mark chapter 14, and the story is also told in John chapter 12, there's a woman by the name of Mary. And she has an alabaster box of ointment, of precious, precious ointment, spikenard. And she breaks the box, and she pours it out on the Lord, and she anoints him. And the disciples are around, and they're saying, what in the world are you doing? What a waste. We could sell that and give the money to the poor. We could get, they say it was a whole year's wages. We could sell that ointment and give it to the poor. And the Lord said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me, and wheresoever the gospel shall be preached for all the time to come, this blessing that she hath done shall be spoken of, right along with the gospel. Because she hath come to anoint my body for the burying. She believed there was going to be a crucifixion and a resurrection. The disciples couldn't understand that. And so this was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for her to anoint him before the burying. And the Lord made a great point of that. Amen. And you find that truth all through the scripture. What a wonderful thing that was to do. Jesus took some verses and some instruction right in the Bible for us through all these generations. 1 Peter 2:7. On you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. To some people, Christmas is just Christmas. You know, it's give me a gift and I'll send you a gift. And it's a good time for family. And, you know, we'll eat at your house and you'll eat at our house, or we'll go to a restaurant and everybody gets together. And sometimes it's busy and sometimes it's frustrating. But this is the birth that we celebrate of our Savior. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth. And God coming into the world. And that is precious to us. Now, I've given you three illustrations. There's a lot more. And I think I'll give them to you later and we'll be here till 4:30. Amen? But there's a lot in the Bible about this that shows the heart of certain people and what they felt about the Lord, what they felt about Almighty God, what they felt about what God was revealing to them. And remember when you accepted Christ as your Savior? How that revelation just came to you and you saw that Christ had died for your sins and he wanted to be your Savior, and all you had to do was receive the gift of salvation from the Lord. That was it. It wasn't about works. It wasn't about baptism. It wasn't about church membership. It was about receiving the gift, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so when we accept that gift, my, what a blessing that is. Amen. That's where Jesus becomes precious to us. It's not religion. It's the person. It's the relationship with Almighty God. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift. You'll never get a gift like that. That is the greatest gift. It's unspeakable. Amen? You cannot describe it. You could talk for years and years and years, and there's not enough vocabulary to describe it. It's the unspeakable gift, and it's eternal life. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So there it is again. It's the gift of eternal life. Where is that? In Jesus Christ. When you receive the Lord, you receive the gift of eternal life. We had a Christmas party here at the church a few days ago, and it was really a lot of fun. We had sloppy joes and cookies, and we had a white elephant gift. If you've never done that, a white elephant gift is supposed to be a funny gift of probably no value. Something you want to clean out of your basement, or that you're going to take to Goodwill and you have no use for it. And it's kind of a funny thing. Well, some of our people, quite a few of them, brought good gifts. And you could only get a gift if you gave a gift. God says, my son, give me thine heart. And if you give God your heart, he'll give you a new heart. He does those things. We'll see that in a minute. But anyway, so we had this, if you brought a gift, you get a gift. And we started around the room, and some people got good gifts and some people got funny gifts that maybe bought a good gift for somebody else. I don't know. But I don't know if you read this in the news. There was a lady, and they had an office party or something, and they did the white elephant gift. And she got some lottery tickets as the gift. And she had given whatever she did. And she found out the lottery tickets were worth $175,000. Well, I'll bet she was glad she picked that for a gift. Amen? I would take $175,000 compared to what my wife and I gave that night, and I'm not going to tell you what we gave. But in second, it's a gift exchange, and people do those gift exchanges, and they buy good gifts too. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. God gave his son that he might die on a cross to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. What a wonderful thing. In Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Your sins are this way, but they're going to be washed away. We have Isaiah 61, verse 3. This is the verse that Jesus read when he went into the temple and he was beginning his ministry. This is talking about him. And he says, "To give unto them beauty for ashes." That's a good exchange. He said, "To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." It's wonderful. Amen. And in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says three times that that gift is free. All you have to do is receive it. That's such a blessing to me. And forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, it's free to anyone that will receive it. In John chapter 4, that's the story of the woman at the well. And Jesus and his disciples are traveling around the country. And he said, "I must needs go through Samaria. There's a work for me to do there." And so he goes there, and the disciples are in town getting food. And he meets this woman at the well. And he asks her for a drink from the well. And they talk and they for a little while. And Jesus finally says, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." If you knew the gift of God, you would ask for a drink of me, not me asking for a drink of you, and I would give you something that is so much greater than regular water, than something carnal, something temporal, something earthly. I will give you some spiritual water, and when you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. She couldn't understand it until later, and he explained it to her. And then she went back into the city. "Come see a man, told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She met the Christ. She met the Messiah. Changed her life. Amen. "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." That is so powerful. What's the true meaning of gift giving? We often give gifts to reconfirm or establish our connection with others, which means that they're a reflection of both the giver and the receiver, as well as their unique relationship. Giving a gift to someone we care about allows us to communicate our feelings and appreciation for them. It's not just all receiving. It's that receiving connects us to the giver of that gift, and we respond to that. Amen? That's what a gift does. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. In Psalm 96:8, "Give unto the Lord the glory due his name." Why would you want to do that? Why would anybody want to give glory to God? Because he saved us. Amen? That's why. "And unto you which believe, he is precious." How precious has he been to you? What has he given to you? He's given you direction. He's given you so many things, spiritual things. And so it just necessitates something going on in our heart that draws us to him. And it's glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Proverbs 23:26. I mentioned this earlier. "My son, give me thine heart." God asked that. Not to make you or lord over you or, you know, make it a hard thing. He wants you to give him your heart so that he can bless that heart. He can bless you. Here's the verse. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With the heart. With the heart. You know that verse in Revelation, what verse is that, Richard? He holds my cue cards back there. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." That is a wonderful thing for Christ to be in us, for the Spirit of God to dwell in us. Because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen? So God is saying, just open the door of your heart and let me in, and we will have fellowship, and you will have salvation. I don't know if you remember. I remember when I was a little boy that going to Sunday school, they had a picture, and it was of Jesus standing at a door, and he's knocking on the door, and from that verse in Revelation 3:20. And one of the interesting things about that door, if you've ever seen that picture, anybody see that picture? Ever see that? A lot of you. There's no door handle on the outside of the door. The handle's on the inside. He doesn't force his way in. Christ does not force his way in to our hearts to save us. He must be invited in. And when he's invited in, he brings the best gift of all. And that is salvation. There is no gift like that gift. Boy, that is such a blessing. To receive that, you just have to open your heart. I mentioned John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's a song, and we haven't sung that the last couple weeks, but it's a Christmas song, O Holy Night. This was written when the United States was still involved in slavery, France was, and this was before, I believe, the Civil War that this hymn was written. And one of the verses says, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. And then one of the verses says, fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. Fall on your knees. If you know the Lord, there's a reverence. There's a holy desire to please him because he's been so good. The gift of God is eternal life. And we can see that over and over and over in the scriptures. And I think the amazing thing about this, there's so many amazing things about this and so much teaching or preaching or study or reading that you could do on it. But the amazing thing is that when you receive this gift and you give it away, you never lose the gift. The gift just continues to multiply. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. You've received it, and so now you share that with other people. And there are people that religion and the Bible and church is just so dead. It's just so undesirable. It's a duty, and they have to do it. But that's not so when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive the Savior. There's something you want to give him your heart. You want to give him his glory. 1 Kings chapter 17. There's a story about a famine in the land, and this involves Elijah the prophet, and there's a widow woman, and she has a son. And Elijah comes to their house, and he says, give me something to drink, and please fix me something to eat. And the widow woman says to the prophet, well, we have enough meal. My son and I were going to make a cake, and we were going to eat it, and then we were going to die. That's all the food we have. We have no more. And the prophet said something interesting. He said, cook me something first. The words me first are in that chapter. Me first. Boy, that's kind of a mess, isn't it? Here's a poor widow woman, and he comes along and me first, me first, me first. And so she did that. And then when she went back to the barrel, there was still meal and there was still oil in the cruse. It says in 1 Kings 17:16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will give you a clean heart. He'll give you the joy of his salvation. He'll give you godly wisdom. He will give you the comfort that is such a blessing. He'll give you rest for your souls. It just pours it on. He daily loads us with benefits, the Bible says. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. Amen. And what a blessing it is to know the Lord and to give him the honor due and the glory due to his name. And you can just feed off of that and feed. Just keep going back It's like going back to the well. Jesus said, you'll never thirst again. God will do that. We don't have a very large crowd here today. We record this and it goes on YouTube. I would estimate there's only about 2,000 here today. And maybe 1,900 or something like that. The weather is really dicey, and our whole church came out today. But isn't it interesting that God is so interested in you that he brought you to church today? So you would give him your heart and know salvation, or that you would come back to the Lord and know that peace, or, amen, all of the gifts are here, amen, because it's an almighty God and he's the giver of gifts, and every good and perfect gift cometh from above. It's all God. It's all God. And all we have to do is receive the blessing, receive the gift, follow the star, follow the light. It's right here. It'll show us exactly where the gift is, and we can worship him. I mentioned earlier where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, John chapter 4. He knew he had an appointment with that woman at the well. He came for one person. He's traveling in another time, we find in the Gospels, and there's a maniac, a demon-filled man in Gadara, and he goes there and he casts the demons out. And this man is now in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind, and he goes home now. One man he came for. You find Philip, Almighty God said, Philip, leave the revival in Samaria. I want you to go to the backside, or I want you to go to the desert. I have some work for you to do. And so in Acts chapter 8, Philip leaves a revival and he joins this one chariot, and it's a very important man, and he's going back home from Jerusalem. He never found God in Jerusalem. But here this man is shown who Jesus is. Philip takes the scroll and reads Isaiah 53. Here we are. Well, I wonder if anybody else is getting anything out of this. That's not the point. The point is, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me today? It's a wonderful thing to know the Savior. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. We will never thirst again. And here's the verse again. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Where does the thanks come from? It comes from having the gift. Amen? Do you believe he's precious? Do you bow before him? Do you bend the knee? Do you thank him? Are you so grateful for his goodness? We ought to be. Amen? We ought to be. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Remember, it's a gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us, and so he gives us his mercy. Please, please pay so much attention to these words. If you're here today and you're not sure you're going to spend eternity with God, you're not sure you're going to heaven, all you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's so simple, a child can do it. Whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody, and there's no price. Come without money, without price. Come to the waters, drink freely. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. If you want to have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven, say this prayer to Almighty God. I'll lead you in a prayer. It doesn't have to be the exact words. It's your heart that's important. You can say it silently. God will hear the prayer of your heart. But say something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. Please forgive me. Be my Savior. Give me a home in heaven. And I believe you're the Son of God. I believe with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.